This clip was recorded for the UK Wine Show. For more information about the UK Wine Show, you can go to ukwineshow.co.uk. Tempranillo as a grape variety is grown a little all over the world. The main place you're going to see Tempranillo is in Spain, and also it plays a reasonably important bit part in Portugal. For a grape variety mainly grown in Spain and Portugal, it does have a large number of names. These include Sensibel in La Mancha, Aldelibra in Penedès in Spain as well, Tinta Roes in a lot of Portugal, and Aréganés, I think that's pronunciation, in Alentejo. So it's got quite a number of names. We're going to generally call it Tempranillo. And as a grape variety, it generally produces wines with red fruits, and it can have quite thick skins, which if you want to, you can extract and make deep colored tannic wines, or you can have a shorter maceration and make wines that are maybe medium color, medium tannins. The key thing with Tempranillo is it does tend to lack a little bit of acidity. So medium acidity is generally what you'd hope to achieve with it. Holding onto its acidity can be the reason it grows in certain regions and others. And for a grape variety to be able to hold onto its acidity as it's growing, normally you're looking for either not too high summer day temperatures, but certainly low nighttime temperatures. Big diurnals, daytime, nighttime temperature difference. Low nighttime temperatures means that grape varieties tend to hold onto their acidity. So when you're looking at where Tempranillo grows, you're often thinking, where in this region is it cool enough to get the freshness and the acidity that you need for the grape variety? If you're going to make a wine with high tannins, you tend to need a lot of extraction. And that can be either done during the fermentation process by pumping over, punching down, or you can do a long post-fermentation maceration. And that will extract deep colors and high tannins for the wines. Sometimes people make Tempranillo in a very light, strawberry-flavored style, very easygoing wine. And this is often used for wines known as Jovens. We'll talk about them later on. Here, the wines might typically undergo carbonic maceration. A carbonic maceration uses whole bunches and allows the fruit to do an intracellular fermentation so that the grapes aren't broken up and the fruit ferments effectively inside the grape itself. This is known as intercellular fermentation. We've done a whole spotlight on carbonic maceration already, so I suggest if you want to know more about that, you go have a look at that. The upshot is, though, often you make wines with lowish tannins, okay color, but often with a nice, either vibrant red fruit, sometimes a little bit confected candy floss styles as well. I mentioned Joven, and Joven is one of the four styles of Spanish wines. You've got four levels. You've got Joven, Crianza, Reserva, and Gran Reserva. And usually when we talk about Joven, Crianza, Reserva, Gran Reserva, we're normally talking about the amount of time the wine's been aged in barrel and the total time the wine's been aged before release. I'm going to give you the minimum times for aging for Joven, Crianza, Reserva, and Gran Reservas. However, I'm going to give you the minimums for Spain. Some regions, such as Rioja, have their own minimum times that the wines need to be aged, but we're going to focus here only on the Spanish rules, the Spanish minimum aging requirements. And to start off with, all I want you to remember is Joven, or Joven, J-O-V-E-N, Joven as I call it, is no time in barrel and no time in aging before release. So that's no aging in barrel and no aging in bottle or in tank before release. So if you remember that to start off with, everything else becomes easy, because then all you need to do is focus on Crianza, Reserva, and Gran Reserva. For Crianza, Reserva, and Gran Reservas for reds, the way I remember the minimum time of total aging before release, it's simply just prime numbers. Prime numbers are 2, 3, and 5, and Crianza is a minimum of 2 years. Reserva is a minimum of 3 years, and Gran Reserva is a minimum of 5 years. So Crianza, Reserva, Gran Reserva, 2, 3, 5, or prime numbers. Now, you do have to spend a minimum time in barrel as well. So you're talking about the total time for the wine to be aged, 2, 3, or 5, and then the minimum time in barrel, and that's 6 months, 12 months, or 18 months. So a Grand Reserva is 18 months in barrel, 5 years in total before release. Reservas are 1 year in barrel and 3 years in total before release. And Crianthas, 6 months in barrel, 2 years before release. So that's the way I remember it. I just remember primes, 2, 3, 5, and then half, 1, and 1.5. It's nice and easy if you remember it that way. For white wines, a little bit tricky. Again, Jovens, no time at all. So that's just zero time in barrel and zero time before release. For white wines, though, whether it's Crianza Reserve and Grand Reserva, the minimum time in barrel is always 6 months. Then the total time before release is 18 months for Crianza, 2 years for Reserva, and 4 years for Grand Reserva. Now, I always struggle with that one a little bit, remembering it, but I don't drink too many old white Spanish wines, so it's not so bad. Now, the time in barrel can be all sorts of barrels. It can be old barrels, it can be new barrels, it can be French oak, it can be American oak. American oak tends to give more of a vanilla, sweet vanilla type of flavor to the wine, whereas French oak tends to be a little more subtle, spicy aromas. Now, not all these wines are made the same. Reservas, Grand Reservas, Crianthas, Jovens. As we said, Jovens are likely to be made through carbonate maceration. But for a wine to be able to age and spend a lot of time in barrel and bottle before it's even released, the wines need to have a fair bit of preservative to hold the wine together. And the key things you need to hold a wine together are acidity and tannins. And you do also want to have a little bit of alcohol there in case you get some microbiological spoilage. So acidity and tannins are really important. Alcohol, you want to have a decent level of alcohol to make sure that the wine's stable. Now, we know Tempranillo as a grape variety. It has thick skins, which can, if you want to, extract lots of tannins and lots of color. The acidity can be a little bit of a worry. So you often find the best Tempranillos tend to come from the cooler parts of where the grapes are grown. Also, Tempranillo can easily have medium to high alcohols. It's not a low alcohol wine. So the alcohol is normally pretty good if you're trying to age a wine. Now, just remember, if you're drinking an old Grand Reserve, you may notice the tannins aren't particularly powerful. And it's not so much that the tannins were never powerful, it's just that as wines age, those tannin molecules clump together and come out of the wine. So the tannins soften as the wine ages. Also, our perception of acidity appears to soften as the wines age. So some of these old Grand Reserve Riojas, when they were younger, they needed to have all that structure. But as they've been spending a long time in barrel and a long time in bottle before release, these wines have started to soften up. So usually as you move from Crianza to Reserva and Grand Reserva, you're looking for wines that have got increasingly more acidity and more tannins, and you definitely want to make sure they've got reasonable levels of alcohol to age well. Now let's have a look at some of the regions that Tempranillo is grown in Spain. And normally when you think about Tempranillo, you're normally thinking about the north or the central parts of Spain. Areas that have got a really strong Mediterranean climate, such as a lot of the east coast of Spain, it's simply too warm. And particularly with the Mediterranean climate, you have very low diurnals. So the wines don't tend to hold on to their acidity very well. Continental climates tend to have very cold nights, which is good for your diurnal. Hot days, so not the best, but cold, cold nights. And in northern Spain, it's cooler. You can play with altitude to get big diurnals, big day-night temperature differences. Probably the most famous wine region in Spain is Rioja. And Rioja is divided up into three sub-regions. Rioja Oriental, which has historically been known as Rioja Baja. And to be honest, Rioja Baja, Rioja Oriental, they don't tend to grow much Tempranillo. There is some Tempranillo there, but typically Rioja Oriental is a warmer area. It's protected by the Pyrenees. And it's reasonably warm there. You'll see grape varieties such as Grenache grown, Graciano, Monzuela, all those type of grape varieties. The two regions that are very well known for Tempranillo in Rioja are Rioja Alta and Rioja Alvisa. Now, I remember them as the four A's. When I'm talking to students about this, I always go, guys, remember the four A's. What are the four A's? And they are Alta, Alvisa equals altitude and Atlantic. And Alta and Alvisa are both climbing up into the Cantabrian Mountains. So they've both got a little bit of altitude going on there. And that altitude drops the temperature, brings up the diurnals, makes it a little bit cooler. The other thing you've got is, where they're grown in the Cantabrian Mountains, the mountains aren't a massive wall of mountains. They're a little bit broken up, and some of the Atlantic weather can slink through the mountains and make it into Rioja Alta and Rioja Alvesa. So you've got Alta and Alvesa being cooled by altitude and Atlantic influence. As I say, the four A's. Both of them give the coolness that you need to make Tempranillo with high enough acidity to make really good quality wines that will age. And as I said earlier, Rioja Oriental or Rioja Baja, these are less mountainous areas. It's hotter. The wines tend to have lower acidity and you tend to make more of the blending components. Usually Rioja is a blend. You will see some 100% Tempranillo wines. You'll also see some 100% Graciano Riojas as well. But for the good wines, Tempranillo often makes up a big chunk of the blend. But the blending components you have for Rioja, for red Rioja, is Grenache. And we know Grenache gives lots of alcohol to a wine. Alcohol gives lots of body to a wine. So Grenache gives alcohol, it gives body. It also gives red fruits, although Tempranillo also has a bit of red fruit character in itself. Graciano is another really important blending component. It's not a massive part. Tempranillo and Grenache make up the bulk of it, but Graciano is a little bit hard to grow, but it is an important grape variety from a quality point of view. You grow Graciano mainly in Rioja Oriental because it needs a little bit more warmth than Tempranillo, and it produces wines with black fruit character, acidity and tannin. So it's really good for giving structure to the wine and some black fruit characters to the blends. The last grape variety is a grape variety known in Rioja as Monzuelo. You may have heard about it in other Spanish regions as Carignana. In France, we know it as Carignan. Here, this wine's not always the best quality grape variety compared to the others, but it gives acidity and tannins and colour to the blends. So your classic Rioja is made up of Tempranillo and Grenache as your base, Grenache giving alcohol and body and red fruits. Graciano gives black fruits, acidity and tannins, so structure. And Monzuelo, which is a very much a bit part, will give acidity and tannins and colour. And usually the more Graciano you've got, the better. The less Monzuelo you got, the better as well. The region just to the north of Rioja is known as Navarra. And depending on where you're growing your grapes, Navarra can be very similar to Rioja Oriental, so quite warm, growing Grenache. But also, as you move closer and closer to the Pyrenees, it does get noticeably cooler, so you can grow Tempranillo there. If you move from Rioja Navarra to the east coast towards Catalonia, once you're inside Catalonia, there's a DO known as Penedès. In Penedès, Tempranillo is known as Alda Libra. The Penedès wine region has a number of different climates, but if you get away from the Mediterranean coast, which is just too warm and no diurnals at night to really do well by Tempranillo, but if you move inland, you start getting into some altitude and it gets cooler at night as well. And with altitude, there is a little bit of Tempranillo being grown in Penedès. Head further south into the center of Spain, you land up into what's known as the Central Meseta. And the Meseta is a raised plateau in the center of Spain. It's surrounded by mountains and has a definite continental and hot continental climate as well. The main region, and certainly one of the largest wine regions in Spain, is La Mancha. And in La Mancha, the powers that be have been encouraging people to dig up the white grape variety known as Irene and replant it with the red grape Tempranillo. In La Mancha, they don't call it Tempranillo. It's one of these ones where they call it Sensibel. And along with the slightly more premium regions south, known as Valdepeñes, they both have these hot, dry climates. Great for growing clean fruit, but you are a little bit drought prone. And the temperature can get very, very hot, so you need to moderate that if you're growing Tempranillo by altitude. You need a little bit of altitude. Because it is so dry, usually your vine spacings is large. Each vine needs a bigger area to be able to get hold of the water that it needs to survive and thrive. And as a result, you tend to have big, big plant spacings between each vine. because of the plant spacings, the cost of trellising would be huge per vine. So you find in La Mancha and Valdepenes that they tend to grow the grapes in bush vines, i.e. they're freestanding vines. And that's quite good. Bush vines don't need any trellising, which means your cost of trellising and maintenance is much less. One of my favorite wine regions for Tempranillo is from a wine region known as Ribera del Duero. This is just south of Rioja and north of Madrid. There's a large area that's ringed by mountains. It starts off with the Cantabrian mountains with Rioja and then swings all the way around. And coming off those mountains is a river known as the Duero River. And the Duero River travels all the way through Ribera del Duero, Rueda, and Toro in Spain. When the river Duero gets to Portugal, the Portuguese change its name to Douro, and it becomes the Douro River, which is the key river in the Douro Valley, well known for port production, but also producing Tempranillo. So the Duero River is quite an important river for Tempranillo. Ribera del Duero, to me, is one of the top 100% Tempranillo wines you're ever going to get. It's quite high up in the mountains at 850 meters. Because the whole area is surrounded by mountains, it's sunny. There's very little cloud cover, so you get hardly any rain. You've got altitude for coolness. You've also got very cold nights, so you're getting big diurnals, which help hold on to the acidity. That lack of cloud cover means you've got very, very strong UV light, and UV light tends to make the grape skins thicker. The grapes respond to the UV light by protecting the DNA in the seed, which is the key thing they're trying to protect, by making thicker skins. Thicker skins give you deeper, more tannic styles of wines. So Ribera del Duero as a style is often quite a deep-coloured, reasonably tannic style of wine. As I said, the best wines tend to be 100% Tempranillo, and when they're making them, they do tend to follow a particular recipe, if you like, a winemaking recipe. Quite often, the wines have a long maceration, and that will be a long post-fermentation maceration because they want to extract lots of color and lots of tannins as well. So a long maceration, and then they spend a relatively short period in new oak, maybe 6 months in new oak. And that oak can be American or more likely these days is French oak. And that's your classic Ribera del Duero, a tannic, deep colored wine, lots of new oak, long macerations. Very nice. I really like that style of wine. As I said earlier, if you head down the Duero River, you're going to hit Rueda. Rueda's mainly known for white wine production, so we won't talk about that here. And then you come to Toro. And Toro is, again, the wines are predominantly Tempranillo-based. There is some other grape varieties allowed, but they're mainly, the best ones are generally mainly Tempranillo-based. They tend to be full-bodied, high in alcohol. It is quite dry there, so low-yielding bush vines are very, very common, giving lots of intense fruit there. And again, bush vines, because it's dry, you need big spacings between your vines, and that means that cost of trellising is very high, so you go for bush vines. After you leave Toro, following the Douro River, you come across Portugal. And here, as I said earlier, the name changes, and well, everything changes. The name changes from Douro River to Douro River and part of the Douro Valley. And also the Tempranillo grape variety changes from Tempranillo to Tintoroes. So Tintoroes is exactly the same grape variety as Tempranillo, but that's the key name they use in Portugal. They do have some other synonyms as well, which we'll touch on. But in the Douro and in Douro, Tintoroes is the key grape variety. Now, Tintoroes or Tempranillo can be used to make red wines, and the key blending partner you're likely to see on the good ones with Tintoroes is Touriga Nacional. And Touriga Nacional is certainly Portuguese most famous and possibly its best red grape variety. Tintoroes is a bit part player compared to Touriga Nacional. But both Tintoroes and Touriga Nacional can be used to make port and it can be used to make red wines. Similar wines and similar styles can be made in the region just south of the Douro Valley, and that's known as Douro. And then if you head even further south, still inland a little bit into Alentejanu, then again you're going to be growing a little bit of Tempranillo. Here the name changes in Alentejanu to Argonnais. I'm not sure about my pronunciation there, sorry guys. Okay, that pretty much ends our look at Tempranillo. Just to finish up, I just want to go through all those synonyms that we saw. So we'll start with Portugal. So the two key synonyms for Tempranillo in Portugal are Tintoroes, which is used in the Douro Valley and Douro, and Argonnais in Alentejanu. In Penedès, it's known as Aldelibri, and in La Mancha, it's known as Sisabel. That pretty much ends our look at Tempranillo.